Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22 Pacific Standard Time. Well, today is January 12th, 2015. Well, when we look at these markets, there's quite a bit of volatility. Rather than just prognosticating, I thought I'd better have a look at those volatility indices before I started the audio. What you see is that the VIX index has not pulled back to the same extent as it has previously following reasonably sharp advances. By that I mean that when you've seen these pullbacks on the stock market previously, the VIX has spiked higher, and then it goes right back down to its previously depressed level. That hasn't happened this time. Well, you're seeing exactly the same thing happening in Europe, that if you look at, for example, the majority of European indices were up in the region of about 1%, maybe some a little bit less than that today. But European volatility is actually reasonably elevated. Now, still at a very low level compared to where it might have been just a few years ago, but it has not pulled back to the same extent as it has following other recoveries in stock markets. Well, the Euro Stoxx 50 still has this rounding characteristic. It's looking troubled. And of course that's in euro, which has been a very weak currency. Well, you look at, for example, the S&P 500 or the Nasdaq. What we've seen is that you're continuing to get this bullish trampolining, that the market pulls back and then bounces emphatically from the region of the 200-day moving average. But you look at the Nasdaq, for example, well, then you've got one lower high, and it's bounced back to test that region, and was down about 0.8% on the composite today, or, well, probably about the same on the Nasdaq 100. Well, this is the area where you would anticipate that there might be the first area of potential resistance, and it really does need to get back above it if you're going to reassert the medium-term uptrend. The fact that volatility hasn't come back down to the same extent is a bit of a warning, because if we start to see volatility making new highs and the stock market still pretty close to those highs, well, then that opens up the possibility that you're going to get some unwinding of risk. Well, you have to also consider that, and this is a point that has come up at the chart seminar on a number of occasions over the last 18 months, and that is that if you are, and the reason for that is because people are often asking the question, does the behavioral way of looking at the market still apply if you've got all of these automatic trading systems? Well, the automated nature of the trading environment means that you're getting intraday swings in volatility, but that what we've seen because of low interest rates is that the number of these types of trading strategies has proliferated. It will be interesting to see eventually when you get normalization of interest rates and the cost of trading increase, and not least the cost of margin increase, to what extent these very short-term trading strategies will still work. Well, just to get back to the main point, if you're going to have an automated trading system, you need to figure out how you're going to size your positions. You size your positions based on volatility. If you've got low volatility, well, then your model will say that you can have a larger position, because your potential drawdown is reduced. But if volatility increases, then the model will automatically reduce positions, because it has no other choice. It has to manage its risk profile. So watching what happens with those volatility indices is important, because it has a knock-on effect for how these automated trading systems work. What it does suggest is that while we are generally in a bullish environment, we don't have confirming evidence, and this volatility could just as easily come down as it could go up, that we are at a position where we've gone up for a very long time, and that it is now the most important time to monitor the consistency of trends, that the progression of higher reaction lows has to hold, that indices have to continue to find support in the region of the 200-day moving averages, and those that do not, well, then you have to understand that when something loses uptrend consistency, that that is because there has been a change in the dynamic between the supply and demand portions of the market. Well, if we look at Asia, the supply-demand dynamics there are only really just getting started in China, that you've had this massive breakout, that breakouts generally tend to go farther and faster than the majority of people anticipate. And, well, people are starting to now ask the question just how much further this breakout will go before we get some form of consolidation. Well, we don't have any... Well, we've had an equal-sized pullback on the A-share market over the last three or four sessions. That's pretty similar to the two pullbacks that were posted in December. A larger reaction would represent an inconsistency and probably, or potentially, signal that we're going to have a little bit more of to and fro action, that we're going to get a more lengthy consolidation of what's been a really very powerful gain. Well, the Indian market has the pace of the advance has moderated following its massive and very powerful breakout about 9 months ago. The progression of higher reaction lows still remains intact there. Well, when we start to look at and think about consistent trends, well, then oil's downtrend is probably the most consistent trend there is. Well, you often get the most consistent trends in the markets that have the biggest moves, and this really is a very, very large move. Well, as prices decline, we have to understand that prices are not going to zero. Well, the West Texas Intermediate price is currently sitting at $45.92. Brent crude is around $47. And, well, if we stick with Brent, because it's the more international of the two benchmarks, then you have these $10 declines punctuated by very small ranges at round numbers. Well, we've just broken down from $50, and the last pause was at 60, and the pause before that was at 70, well, then people and traders will be looking at it and saying, well, is the price going to get to 40? Well, that 40 level is important because it was around the 40 level where Brent found support in 2008. Well, $40 is also a big psychological level historically, but for the other reason. It was during the Gulf War that prices first got to $40 and pulled back from that area. Well, really what we can say is that $40 represents the upper side of the underlying base. And it was where prices found support in 2008. Well, people will look at that and say, will prices find support at $40? That you are starting to see value starting to come into some of these oil companies, and some of them have had really very accelerated declines. It is now the right time to be thinking about which ones are going to exhibit relative strength. But we won't have confirmation until we see at least a $5 rally in oil prices. There hasn't been more than a $5 rally in oil prices since June. Well, that would represent a major inconsistency in what is now an accelerating downtrend. Well, from the chart seminar, we'll know that acceleration is a trend ending. Well, this is most definitely acceleration. Well, it means that if you have a short position, that stops would probably be an advisable thing to have, not least if one is leveraged, but that also when we do get the rally, that the bounce back could be really quite powerful. Well, copper was also weaker in here today. Well, that's breaking down from what was, well, to the greater or lesser extent, a three-year range. That $3 had provided support on a number of occasions over the last 3 years, and well, it broke below the $3 level in December, and it's currently at $2.72. Well, that's been the completion of a Type 3 top, and well, nothing has happened yet to question potential for additional downside. Well, the strength of the dollar has probably been one of the more important factors over the last 6 months. And, well, with oil continuing to come lower, the relative strength of the US dollar has been particularly evident amongst the commodity currencies. And the Canadian dollar in particular today was weak. It was weaker by an additional full cent. Well, the Australian dollar was weaker by about a half a cent. It's down to about 80 cents now, having been stronger than parity for a good part of the last four or five years. Well, the US dollar getting stronger is a reflection both of the USA's relative strength in terms of its economy, and also by, well, in virtue of the fact that the dollar is coming off a very low level, but also that the commodity currencies had gone up so much as a result of higher commodity prices. Well, low oil prices also reduced the cost of mining and the cost of production of just about all commodities. Well, you can also say that it reduces the cost of producing agricultural commodities, because fuel represents such an important part of that. And of course, the production of fertilizer, well, nitrogen fertilizer is tied to natural gas prices. Well, it means that lower oil prices contribute to lower commodity prices right across the spectrum. Well, that's not good news for commodity currencies. And well, they have been very strong, and you don't have to think that, well, very far, that they're going to get weaker from here. Well, that's probably a lot to digest, and I think I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.